Greetings, everybody. As Mr. Berube said in the prayer, the nice temperature, which is it's just moderate, isn't it? Well, there was a scripture in the Bible, brethren, and people used to say that many are cold, but few are frozen. You know the one. And if you follow that line of reasoning, actually, brethren, the truth is that many are called, but few are chosen, as Christ said in one of the responses to his disciples. That is really, as we know, the condition of God's church through the ages. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the way to eternal life in this age, of course, it's for the few. But brethren, there's a reason why. There's a reason why. It is a massive reason. It is an enormous reason. It's the most important thing and activity that's taking place on the earth today. The title of this, brethren, is A Great Purpose. A Great Purpose. You won't hear this anywhere else, brethren. You won't hear it outside of God's church, that message. You will not hear it. Because the world does not understand what's going on. They do not understand the basic teachings of the Bible. They do not understand the basic idea that Christ, why he came, that he didn't come to convert the world then, and he's not trying to convert it now, because there is a time frame for that to happen. I wanted you to turn with me, brethren, to a scripture that I touched on recently, but it's, again, I want to go over it again because it is powerful stuff. It's for you, it's for me, it's for now. So I want to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And this is so interesting, it's fascinating, because people read right over this. I have read commentaries, brethren, by traditional Christianity, how they try to explain this. I've read, you know, articles and so on by the church over the years. And they have had an understanding and a grasp of this particular verse. It's powerful stuff, brethren, because it fits in with the purpose that God is working out here below with the church right now for a very real and big reason. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. It says here, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, brethren, we back up a little bit, and we just read that word purpose again. God has a purpose. He has a purpose at various times throughout history, and it changes a little bit because it fits a little bit differently at different times. But right now, the purpose that God is working out is with us, the called out ones, the few that hopefully are not cold, but or frozen, you know, that type of thing. But we who are part of and involved with a specific purpose, brethren, right now for something very great, tremendous, incredible. Let's read a little bit further here. It says, "For to his purpose," verse 28, verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow," implication here, brethren, is that God knew you before he called you. In other words, he had thought the process forward. He didn't all of a sudden wave a magic wand and say, "Well, you know, I think today I'm going to call so-and-so." Probably not. What it's implying here, brethren, is that he carefully looked ahead and planned that he was going to look down on you and call you at a specific time, maybe working with you a little bit ahead of time, trying to get you to the point where he could get your attention, my attention. And then he was going to work with you for a great purpose. Brethren, it is an incredible purpose. But it says here, "For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate." Brethren, he didn't predestinate any one of us to be saved, but he predestinated us to be called at a certain time. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. And we are called to be a part of a great purpose. And what is that purpose, brethren? Let's take a look here at John, the third chapter. I want to go here to John, the third chapter very quickly in this short sermonette. Because most people don't even understand this, because when you talk about the kingdom of God being established on the earth, most people think, well, what is that? I read a commentary today, various explanations of so-called religious theologians, experts, and so on and so forth, and they're all over the map in their explanation about the kingdom of God. Why don't they just read the Bible, brethren? Because it's pretty plain. The kingdom of God, brethren, is a spiritual kingdom that is going to come and reign over this earth, that's going to come here at the behest of God the Father. Jesus Christ is going to be the king of that kingdom on earth, and he's going to implement something, brethren. And that is something that you and I are going to be part of, but that implementation is a great purpose. But look here, it says in verse 3 of John the third chapter, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you," now he's talking to Nicodemus, a learned person of the Jews, a very prominent individual in a Jewish religion at that time. But he looked back at him and he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, brethren, what this is saying is, if you're flesh and blood, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, a spiritual kingdom that will reign all over the physical kingdoms of this earth. But you can't see it unless you're born into it. In other words, you have to become spirit. That's what you have to do. That's what God is planning to do. But again, he's doing it for a great purpose. And again, we ask, what is that purpose, brethren? It can be very quickly summarized, brethren. I just want to read to you this little short statement here that characterizes what that purpose is. And it becomes very clear. And it's inspiring as well. Because everything you see going on around you is pointed towards the reestablishment of the kingdom of God on earth, for a purpose, a reason, and that reason, brethren, ultimately, is to bring all of humanity back to the truth. To bring those people that have been brought back from the grave so that they can have an opportunity to know what you know. In other words, the purpose that God is working out here below with you and I, his church, is so that we can be trained, so that we can rule with Christ, so that we can help humanity to become converted and to be born into that invisible kingdom that rules over everything, to be part of that. Brethren, that's a great purpose, isn't it? That's huge. And you think, well, what is this little church all about? Brethren, it's the most powerful thing that's going on in the universe right now. It really and truly is. It's powerful stuff. Now, I want to read this very clearly just to share with you how that great purpose can be understood. It says here, the purpose, the reason, or why the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God has to take over the governments of this present Satan-controlled evil world. Why? Why? Why is it going to take place? It is to implement the new covenant. Why? So that humanity, the billions, the untold billions of people that you and I have rubbed shoulders with, brethren, some of them down through time, but no doubt many of them resting in the grave who are going to be brought back to life to have their opportunity, because you will be a trained teacher with Christ in his government to extend to humanity the truths that you are learning right now. It is powerful, brethren. There's no other church, no other group of people that knows that or that understands it or that lives it. It's the church of God. It really is. So anyway, so that humanity, the billions, can be born again into the kingdom of God, just like you and I hopefully will be, brethren. And we will be if we continue on the road that we have certainly chosen to follow when Christ made it possible for us to do so. In closing, brethren, let's go to Daniel, the 12th chapter. I want to read something that I think is quite inspiring. Very, very powerful verse here. Because when you look up at the night sky, you're looking at something that is symbolic, in a sense. You know, the stars, brethren, they convey a picture. You know, in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, God the Father is typed as the sun, as the sun in heaven. Jesus Christ is sort of typical of the moon. In other words, he receives the reflection from the sun. But also, brethren, it doesn't end there, because in that picture that God talks about, he talks about the stars also. And you will see in the book of Genesis, there are various verses that talk about the stars of heaven, Abraham looking up to heaven and saying, "So shall your descendants be." All those stars, brethren, represent the born-again family of God, ultimately, when we are made spirit beings to be a part of the kingdom of God. So let's read in Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 3, in closing. It says here, in Daniel 12, verse 3, and remember, this is all about a great purpose being worked out here below, through his church, through his people in this age, so that we can help Christ, work with him in the kingdom of God to convert humanity and bring his kingdom back to this earth. It says here, Revelation, or Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 3, and they, the church, brethren, they that are wise shall shine. That's becoming a spirit being, brethren. They shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Brethren, that's the host of heaven, the stars, all the meteors, all the things that shine up in the heavens, sort of typical of what we're going to be like when we are actually changed from flesh into spirit. We're going to shine, brethren, just like that in God's kingdom. It says here, as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness. Brethren, that is the purpose that God is working out here below. We are called to be born into the kingdom of God, to serve with Jesus Christ, to convert humanity so that they can all be there as well. Brethren, that's a huge purpose, brethren. So we need to think and meditate on how special our calling really is, brethren, and to embrace it with every fiber of our being.